Part 3. Delayed Exits from Chapter 11. Julianne Lopez-Toledo reports about four Chapter 11 debtors whose emergence from Chapter 11 has been delayed. W.R. Grace, Quigley, Flintcoat, and Pittsburgh Courting. Chemical maker W.R. Grace & Company in October said it does not expect to emerge from its 12-year bankruptcy before the end of January as it deals with court appeals against its restructuring plan. In September, a three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, composed of Judges Ambrose, Fisher, and Jordan, issued two opinions dismissing the objections raised by the state of Montana, Her Majesty the Queen in Right of Canada, and Anderson Memorial Hospital to W.R. Grace & Company's confirmed Chapter 11 plan of reorganization. Grace filed for Chapter 11 protection in 2001, making it one of the longest bankruptcies in U.S. history, after an asbestos leak at one of its mines led to a slew of lawsuits. Through bankruptcy, Grace has been able to halt debt payments, survive two recessions, and take advantage of a U.S. shale energy boom that is fueling demand for catalysts, which help refiners process crude oil. That demand helped Grace post a stronger-than-expected profit in October, marking the 10th straight quarter that the company has beaten analyst expectations. On a post-earnings call, Chief Executive Fred Festa said Grace could emerge from bankruptcy by the end of January if there are no further appeals to its restructuring plan. Mr. Festa said, quote, "If there are appeals filed, our emergence would be delayed, probably by 2 to 3 months," adding the company would be able to give an update on December 5th. Grace has said for years that an exit from bankruptcy is just around the corner, only to have dates come and go. Meanwhile, demand continues to grow for its fine powder catalysts, which help refiners process crude oil into gasoline, heating oil, and other products. Grace said it expects business to grow next year, helped by its $500 million acquisition of Dow Chemical's catalyst business in early October. Lower prices in the third quarter were partially offset by strong demand for materials for construction, packaging, and coatings. Net income fell 8% to $69.4 million. Adjusted earnings of $1.07 per share beat the average analyst estimate of 99 cents per share, according to Thomson Reuters, IBES. Total revenue fell less than 1% to $771.3 million. Analysts were expecting $780.2 million. Schult Roth & Zabel, LLP, on October 25th, received court approval for $21 million in fees it sought for the firm's work on Pfizer Inc. unit Quigley Company's 9-year bankruptcy proceeding. U.S. Bankruptcy Judge Stuart M. Bernstein overruled the U.S. trustee's objections to the final fee application, saying the firm adequately made its case for substantial compensation for its services rendered during the bankruptcy. U.S. Trustee Tracy Hope Davis had contended that the attorney spent an unreasonable amount of time on amending and redrafting Quigley's reorganization plan after the first one was filed in 2005. He also approved Togut Siegel & Siegel LLP's bid for $3.6 million for its services to future asbestos personal injury claimants, and Kaplan & Drysdale's request for $5.4 million for its representation of Quigley's unsecured creditors committee, though he knocked down Kaplan's by $20,600. Davis argued that the firms should not be awarded their hefty fees in light of Judge Bernstein's denial of Quigley's fourth amended plan in 2010 due to Pfizer's manipulation of the votes for the plan. The judge disagreed, saying that even though he refused to confirm that version of the plan, the attorneys who drafted and supported the plan could not have known that he was going to do so. Judge Bernstein said in a written opinion, quote, "Although Quigley faced a difficult fight, the outcome was in doubt, and I reject the argument that Schult's services rendered in connection with the promulgation and prosecution of the fourth plan would not have been undertaken by a reasonable attorney on behalf of its client." Quigley's fifth amended plan was confirmed in June. The company entered bankruptcy in September 2004 as a result of thousands of asbestos personal injury claims. The final confirmed plan will cost Pfizer $964 million. In August, the three firms submitted their final request for fees. The U.S. Trustee's Office objected on the grounds that the fourth plan they proposed and supported did not meet the good faith test and asked the court to reduce Schult's and Togut's compensation by 50%. The government urged the court to reduce Kaplan's fees by 75%. Judge Bernstein was unpersuaded by the numbers the trustee presented to show that the fees increased unreasonably over the course of the case, saying the government's use of them, quote, illustrates the axiom that statistics are a group of numbers looking for an argument. He said the firm's time records showed that more work was conducted on behalf of the plan and disclosure statement after April 30, 2005, which was the month after the first version of the plan was filed. The increase in activity after April 30, 2005 implies the opposite of what the UST argues. The first plan and disclosure statement were incomplete placeholders filed on the date that exclusivity expired and required substantial additional work, he said in his decision. Quigley, which was acquired by Pfizer in 1968, filed for bankruptcy protection in September 2004 after it was hit with lawsuits by more than 160,000 claimants allegedly injured from exposure to asbestos products. In the nearly 20 years prior to the bankruptcy, Pfizer paid more than $1.2 billion in insurance proceeds to settle asbestos claims against itself and Quigley, according to court documents. At a 2010 trial on Quigley's previous reorganization plan, an expert estimated that the company and Pfizer would face another $2.6 billion in asbestos claims over the next 42 years. Quigley is represented by Lawrence V. Gelber and Michael L. Cook of Schulte Roth & Zabel, LLP. Pfizer is represented by J. M. Goffman, George A. Zimmerman, and Jonathan L. Frank of Skadden, Arp, Slate, Megger & Flom, LLP, and by Sheila L. Birnbaum of Quinn, Emanuel Urquhart & Sullivan, LLP. The Flintcoat Company and Flintcoat Mines Limited filed a 26th motion seeking for an order extending their exclusive periods in which to file for a Chapter 11 plan and solicit votes thereon. Flintcoat wants the plan filing period extended by an additional 5 months through April 30, 2014, and the solicitation period through June 30, 2014. Flintcoat, the official committee of asbestos personal injury claimants, and the legal representative of future asbestos claimants appointed in debtors' cases have proposed a bankruptcy exit plan. In December 2012, the bankruptcy court entered an order confirming the plan. In January 2013, Imperial Tobacco Canada Limited and certain of its wholly owned subsidiaries, including Genstar Corporation, filed a notice of appeal from the confirmation order, and such appeal is currently pending before the District Court as case number 13-00227. The plan has been accepted by all classes of creditors and claimants, including 95% of the holders of asbestos personal injury claims against the debtors. Flintcoat says terminating exclusivity will not result in a, quote, better plan or speedier confirmation, but will only result in a potential ambiguity in the unlikely event that the confirmation order is not upheld on appeal as to whether the debtors adequately preserved exclusivity throughout the appeal period, which would not further the central goals of Chapter 11. The United Steel, Paper and Forestry, Rubber, Manufacturing, Energy, Allied Industrial and Service Workers International Union, including its Local 1004, and Pittsburgh Corning Corporation, reached a new labor agreement on November 1, 2013. The three-year pact provides for wage increases in each year of the agreement and a new, more flexible and adaptive health insurance plan. Also included were increases in the life insurance and short-term disability benefits. Both local president Michael J. Anderson and plant manager Donald E. Johnston agreed that the negotiations were productive and set the stage for continued cooperation and long-term benefits for both the company and its employees. Pittsburgh Corning on May 28th said it was closer to emerging from 13 years in bankruptcy following a judge's confirmation of a reorganization plan that calls for a $3.5 billion trust to resolve thousands of asbestos-related claims that pushed the glass block and insulation company into Chapter 11 protection. The final plan, confirmed in May by U.S. Bankruptcy Court Judge Judith Fitzgerald, despite objections from some insurance companies involved in the case, would establish a trust to settle an estimated 235,000 lawsuits from people who claim the company manufactured and sold asbestos pipe insulation that caused cancer and other illnesses. The trust will be funded by PPG Industries and Corning Inc., which own Pittsburgh Corning through a 50-50 joint venture, and insurance companies. Under the plan, PPG would pay about $825 million to the trust through 2023, along with 1.4 million shares of PPG stock, or the cash equivalent. Corning would pay $290 million. insurers for PPG and Corning would pay $1.7 billion. Once the company is out of bankruptcy, PPG and Corning will relinquish their ownership shares in Pittsburgh Corning, which they founded in 1937 to produce glass block for windows and other applications. The ownership shares will transfer to the trust. During a hearing on the proposed plan in May, lawyers representing Mount McKinley Insurance Company, one of the two insurers that did not support the final plan, asked Judge Fitzgerald to reconsider her final order, arguing that it would alter their policies. The judge said it was unlikely she would change her mind. Though the plan is subject to appeals and approval by the U.S. District Court, Pittsburgh Corning Chairman and CEO Philip Martineau called it a, quote, turning point in the long bankruptcy saga. The trust created to settle the claims, he said, quote, is intended to help support the people and families who were harmed by asbestos, unquote. He doesn't expect the reorganization plan to affect the company's day-to-day operations, quote, other than having different owners. The lawsuits that sent the company into bankruptcy are related to Unasbestos, a pipe insulation product that Pittsburgh Corning produced from 1964 to 1972 at plants in Tyler, Texas, and Port Allegheny, McKean County. The Texas plant closed in 1972. Before it filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, the company resolved more than 200,000 of the claims. The Troubled Company Reporter provides detailed reporting about every Chapter 11 filing nationwide. Stay tuned to learn more about obtaining a trial subscription to the TCR and no cost or obligation. That concludes Part 3 of the report. The report continues in Part 4.